Thank you guys so much for having me here. Hopefully you have had a great morning so far. I am really happy to be here to tell you a little bit more about PROS. Obviously, we've got a lot of people who don't know anything about it, so that's exciting. And to tell you a little bit more about our marketing strategy, how we use content throughout all aspects of it to build a new brand. Before we dive in, really quickly, so you heard a little bit of an intro. As you know, I work in content and social media. I've been doing it for a little while. Prior to joining PROS this year, I was at Birchbox for almost 8 years, working on their content marketing, social media teams, and building their in-house video production team. So while I was there, I joined very early stage and really saw the power of content and the power of storytelling on social media to drive customer loyalty and to drive the business in a really wonderful place. So I knew when I was leaving that I wanted to go to another brand and bring a lot of that storytelling and a lot of that content to a new place right from the beginning. So that leads me to PROS and the work that I'm doing now. Obviously, since you're not familiar, it's all new to you, but PROS is a custom hair care brand. We just launched in December of last year, so we're less than a year old now, and that's really been the focus of, you know, what I'm going to talk about today is how, as a brand new brand, we're getting our name out there and how we're building trust in a market that doesn't know us at all yet. So we are custom hair care. As I said, we're taking into consideration everything about your hair care to create a completely unique product. So we have a consultation. It asks not only about your hair care, your hairstyle, your preferences, how you normally style your hair, but goes deeper into things like your lifestyle, your stress levels, how often you wash your hair, what kind of exercise you do, your diet, and then even environmental factors like water quality where you live, humidity levels where you live, because all of these things ultimately are impacting our hair. And we want to really make sure that we're creating a product that's custom for every person. There's something like 50 billion different formulas that you can have with your PROS products. So we have three products. We have a hair mask, a shampoo, and a conditioner. So very tight, small product line at the moment. And everything is made, handmade in our lab here in New York. So now you know a little bit more about us, and we'll dive into why we launched with content marketing and why it was so important for us as a very new brand that has a small team to build out a content marketing team. So on our team currently, it's myself. I also have three other full-time people working on content and storytelling at the brand. We have someone who is in charge of all our written content and tone of voice, which I'll talk a little bit about why that's so important. And there's really a couple of reasons why we felt that this was super important for us. There's two main reasons. So first is that the market is really dictating it today. It's more and more important to incorporate storytelling and content into everything that you're doing. So there was a study done last year by the advertising agency Hill Holliday that actually found that products across all different industries were valued at a higher rate and were purchased at a higher rate when they had storytelling that was accompanying them. I've personally seen in my past work that product pages that have videos on them can drive up conversion by more than 20%, which is pretty incredible. And today, we're seeing more and more that brands really need to cut through the clutter. One thing that our CEO likes to say a lot is that the social feed is the new shelf. So today, brands aren't only competing against the other brands on the shelf with them in retail, they're also competing against everything else that customers are seeing in their social feed. So cute cat videos from BuzzFeed, your friend's new baby, and you really need to be putting out content that cuts through and gets the attention of your customer when you're doing that. Secondly, and I think this is most important, is that more and more customers are looking for a reason to trust you as a brand and to trust in the brands that they purchase. So another study from this year found that trust in brand was one of the top reasons for determining which retailer to purchase products from. And then a Euromonitor study talking about global trends found that there's this huge category of shoppers now and growing called sleuthy shoppers. And these shoppers are looking for proof that a brand has integrity, that they share values with them, they're trustworthy. In particular, there's more and more focus on ingredients, what's going into your products, what are the production product, what is your production process, because they want to know that it's sustainable, it's healthy for the environment, and that it, you know, is sharing their values. And you can probably recognize in yourself or in your friends and family a lot of these same concerns when you're looking for products. We want to know that the brands that we're shopping from are in line with our own values. Beauty in particular is a place where this is so important to trust where your products are coming from. They're products that you're putting on your skin, on your scalp, and more we're being educated to the fact that these products are impacting or can have an impact on our overall wellness. So it's a really important decision, and people want to know that they're putting their money into something that they can trust is a quality product. For us in particular, trust is super important because I mentioned we have this consultation up front. We're asking our customers to give us a lot of personal information before they ever try our product. All in all, our consultation takes into account 85 different data points. So we're asking them to tell us a lot, and they need to know that we're a trustworthy business in order to feel comfortable giving us that information, especially now that privacy data concerns are more and more in the news. So the good news is that customers are looking for a reason to trust brands today. They want to build a deeper connection with brands. I was at another conference yesterday about influencers, and Lauren Everts from The Skinny Confidential, if you're not familiar with her, she has a huge blog. She's got a very widely listened to podcast. She's building a podcast network and a Facebook group that has 40,000 women in it talking constantly all day long. And she was talking about the, you know, most successful brand relationships that she is working on. And she called out that specifically her audience is looking to not only build a deeper connection with her and to get closer to her, but they really want to build that deep connection with the partners that she's working with day in and day out. And you can see that, you know, building that connection, sharing that content, and giving more of yourself and your brand and being a little bit more transparent is what is going to build that deeper connection. So the way to create that, as I said, you know, being more transparent, probably more transparent than you might be comfortable with, lifting the curtain a little bit more on your production and what's going on behind the scenes, sharing the motivations of your team, and really reinforcing that you're a group of people working towards something. So for us, the challenge was building that from scratch as a new brand who, you know, you might not have seen your friends using before. You don't see it on the shelf at, you know, your local store or at your Sephora. So we took the approach of sort of a five-step approach. So when you're starting, the number one thing with any, I think, department or any new initiative is always thinking about defining your goals. What are you getting out of every different piece of content? So trust for us is kind of overarching over everything, but within that, we're also trying to build things, content that is targeted to SEO, so bringing in new eyeballs and customers who aren't familiar with us yet. We're doing a lot of educational stuff, which really builds on that brand awareness and trust. And then a lot of direct response as well for our social ads. So we have to kind of balance all of these things and making sure that they're all laddering up to this overall trust in us as a brand. Secondly, we are focused on building brand guardrails up front. I think this is something that is easy to kind of overlook as a new brand because you just want to run and get started building something. But having a tone of voice doc and a style guide is super important up front. So there's things within our tone of voice doc. We have very specific words that we use and words that we would never use. So we always say we're customized hair care or custom hair care. It's never personalized because personalized gives the sense that you are just choosing from a couple of different options and then slapping your name on it, or it's more of a monogram product. So custom, we are consistently messaging this over and over and over again across all of our channels to really kind of like help this seep through the consciousness. And then style guide, of course, what our visual tone looks like, what our photos look like, and we can come back to this again and again in 6 months and say, like, where did we stray from here? Where are we comfortable sort of bending the rules, and where do we really need to stay within our brand? And then once you're actually ready to start building out your content, finding differentiators for your brand and what separates you from every other brand out there. We have four core differentiators that we're focused on. Number one is our consultation. I've talked already about how super detailed this is, but it's something that we talk about in our content over and over again about why we ask about these things, why they're important, how they impact your hair. Our research and development team and our ingredients, so that's actually why I was in Paris earlier this year, is that we have an in-house research and development team that is based in Paris. And they are constantly finding new ingredients. It's very unusual for a small beauty brand to actually have R&D in-house. A lot of brands, it's outsourced to, you know, different factories and different manufacturers. So to have that in-house and actually be building and testing the ingredients ourselves is really meaningful for us and can help set us apart and, really emphasize the fact that we are the experts in the products and we're not kind of just putting a label on it. Next, our formulation. So really nailing down what I said before about the fact that everything is handmade, it's made to order, it's not choosing from a couple of different products and finding the best one for you, making sure that people know that this is actually a product that isn't even created until you take the consultation and find out. And then lastly, it's our professional network. So we have a network of stylists that we work with, and they're giving us guidance on everything from what works for them in their salon, what their clients are looking for, and then also creating content with us to give their expertise to our audience as well. So those four core differentiators are the things that we come back to again and again, and they form the base of our evergreen content. We'll layer in things on top of that, like styling tips and things, you know, that might be bringing in more social traffic every once in a while or that are driving SEO. We'll layer in things like new promotions, holiday coming up. But we have this sort of always on content that's focused on these four areas. And ultimately, those four items are all kind of laddering up into this overall trust in us as a brand. So next is listening to your customers. I think if you're here, you probably, hopefully, are listening to your customers. But there's a couple of things that I think the best content marketers out there and the best, most community-minded brands are doing to listen to their customers and bring their customers along in a bigger way. So the first way is by bringing them along the journey with you. And the best example of this, I think, is when Glossier launched, they raised their second round of funding. And they announced it first in a blog post on their content side called Into the Gloss. And it was a long-form article from their CEO and founder talking about why they raised the money, thanking their customers for getting them to that place, talking about what they were going to do, how they were going to use this money to build their company in the future. And it was a really important moment, I think, for their customers to feel so connected to them that the brand gave them, you know, more insight into what's going on in the business side, especially in the beauty industry, to give their customers the respect that they would care about this, that they cared about the business side of it. And also just let them know, like, this is, you know, we're building this, we're humans that are building this for you, and that we're all working on this together. So this is just a little video that we put together earlier this year. We passed 100,000 consultations taken on our site, and also had like a nice social land. You know, we passed 10,000 followers on Instagram, so we did a little video thanking our customers about it, and it's something that we'll definitely continue to do as we. So bring them along the journey, and this is super important because obviously you want your customers to be there and cheering for you when you have successes, and most of them will be if they like your company and they like your products, but you also want to build that trust in up front so that when you do have a misstep, when you have late shipping or a launch doesn't go exactly as planned, which we know can happen, it's life, mistakes happen, and building the relationship up front with your customers and reinforcing that you're a group of humans versus this kind of like monolithic name, a faceless corporation, is going to help them to see it more as a mistake, as human error, and have them give you another chance. I think the more that you can put a face and humans behind your brand through everything that you do on social media, the more that they will come to see you as humans that they're rooting for, instead of kind of the corporation. And then secondly, turning customers into advocates. So we do a lot with influencers, particularly micro-influencers and nano-influencers, which are, you know, influencers who have less than 5 or 10K followers. And that's one way that you can do this if you want to work with influencers, which I think everyone should. But another way is also just lifting up your current customers. So turning them into advocates. And you can do this really by, it's not rocket science, by commenting on their posts when someone tags you, when someone shares about your brand, even if they have 2 followers, thanking them for that post, asking them questions consistently, responding to what they're giving you, and also highlighting that and elevating it on your own channels. So this woman here is actually, she was a model in one of our first photo shoots, and we gave her the products, and that was probably 6 months ago, and since then, every month, she's consistently posting about how much she loves her products and just the connection that she had with us. From meeting us one-on-one, getting to try the products, she, you know, has probably gotten 20 more people to purchase the product just because of her enthusiasm. And we really want to turn that one-on-one relationship that we have with her into a one-on-one relationship with all of our customers, whether they meet us in person or not. We want them to feel like they know us personally. And you can do that through, you know, Instagram stories, through responding to their social channels directly, responding to everything that they, you know, direct message you. Okay. And then lastly, of course, you can't forget about the visuals. So this is, of course, really important, especially now. And more and more, I think we need to be leaning into video. It doesn't have to be video that costs thousands and thousands of dollars, though. The great thing now is that anyone can create video with the phone in their pocket, and it can look pretty good as well and be a good representation of your brand. So this probably isn't going to work with the videos, but we'll give it a try. The kind of 5 core different types of visual content that we're making are simple GIFs using photos that we stitch together, photos with graphics added to them, beautiful photos of hair, We've also are doing, I mentioned, a lot of social first video ads. Behind the scenes Instagram stories are huge for us. We try to post every single day on Instagram stories, either a graphic post that's linking to our website in some way and giving you a little bit more information within that channel, or our team directly talking to them. And then also some long form video stories that we're excited to be rolling out more in the next few months. So this product one, so simple product GIF, this is something we, you know, took a couple of photos and sort of stitched them together in-house. Everything that we make so far has been a mix of, we have a part-time graphic designer that works with us in-house. We have worked with a lot of external creative partners so far in order to kind of build up this base, and our internal social team as well. And that is really the next step for us, is continuing to build out this internal team, which gives us so much more flexibility to consistently be creating more content, taking advantage of stories as they happen, and also really allows us to have a little bit more control over things like our tone of voice, our style guide, our brand guidelines. We're always going to be closer to the brand than external partners will be. And then this one is just an example of some of the kind of ingredient content that we put up on our Instagram stories that shares, you know, more about what the ingredients are that we use in our products, why we use them, why we've chosen them, and then we also have accompanying videos with our chemists where they talk about a little bit more in detail about those ingredients. Okay, so social first video ads, this has been pretty much, you know, where we invest any of our marketing and media dollars are in social media. So it's been really important to our team to do things that feel very catchy, as I said, and feel social first. These first two are a couple that we have been working on with a creative agency that are hopefully like feed stopping. So something that is catchy, that kind of her hair is sort of coming out of the frame so that when you see it in the feed, it really catches your eye, and then leads to more of a direct response around, you know, hair care that's formulated just for you and has a button to click through to take the consultation. This one is really focused on ingredients again, so the ingredients that are in there and what they do. And we have a couple of different versions of this one. What, again, we're trying to test sort of this for Instagram stories, that swipe up motion to go to the link. And then also within the Facebook feed, having it the white background so it kind of feels like it's floating in the air to see if that catches people's eyes. And then this is an example of one where we took a lot of our customer testimonials that were both getting, you know, organically having them sent to us, and that we're requesting from them, that we're asking micro-influencers to write for us, and that we're also, you know, going out to people who are commenting and sharing photos and just saying, like, we are so happy that you had a great experience with the product. We'd love if you would give us a review, or can we use a quote from you in some of our ads? And overwhelmingly, everyone is excited to say yes. So very simple. You know, something that you could animate on, you know, on apps that you have on your phone, a product image, and then just different reviews that we've gotten and quotes that we've gotten. And if you're looking for tools, as I said, to create stuff like this really scrappily, Canva is a great tool. It's a free website. There's a pro version that's pretty affordable as well, that allows you to create really simple graphics like this, and then you can kind of, you know, cut them together using the like free video apps on your iPhone. Instagram stories. So this is our director of education, Faith, who is a hairstylist, and we do a lot of Instagram stories behind the scenes with her, talking about the products, talking about styling tips, and really speaking to the customer directly. She is one of our team members in particular that we're really working to build up as an expert and have customers come to know her and to trust her opinions as well. And then this one is was originally an Instagram story that a customer uploaded, and they, you know, she on her own was like so excited about the products and loved them so much that she filmed this great multi-part Instagram story talking about how amazing her hair looked, and our team saw it and was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Like, we couldn't pay to get content that's this glowing about us. So requested permission from her, and she ended up doing, you know, writing a ton more about us, and has, you know, that's turned into one of our most successful ads because it feels really authentic. It's coming directly from her and gives you a clear before and after benefit of using the product. And then this is one of our new long-form video stories. I just cut out a little clip from it. This is one of the things I was working on in Paris. We have, within our products, we have 7 fragrances, and we worked with a really well-known nose in France to create the fragrances for us so that they wouldn't just be an add-on or something, you know, something, a throwaway within the products. We really wanted them to feel special. So we went and met with her, and she kind of told us a little bit more about herself and and how she came up with the fragrances and her path to becoming this fragrance creator as well. And this is, you know, something that will live across all of our channels. We definitely don't expect this to be the thing that drives a lot of social traffic, but it is something that can go to build up trust so that when we bring customers in through some of those more quick social ads, that they come to the site and they see there's actual expertise behind this, there's actual heritage behind these products. So where do we reinforce this across all of our channels? Where are we putting these messages? It's both internal channels. So we have our homepage. We have a new video launching there that's going to be always on playing. Across our social channels, of course, content newsletters and transactional emails. Within a blog that we have on site, we have an ingredient glossary launching very soon on the site, and then also within the packaging and collateral, so the messaging and the packaging, you know, consistently kind of nails down these core differentiators and tries to build up trust. And then also external channels, so within PR, within our influencer outreach, we send our influencers like a one-sheeter that talks about all the, you know, the most important and most exciting things about the brand, and then from there kind of give them the freedom to take that information and put it out to their audience in a way that will make sense. In user-generated content, you know, we're commenting on it, letting them know, like, we loved this. We saw, you know, that you called out you have, like, dry hair. We're so happy that we were able to include this ingredient in there for you. Our salons and stylists, you know, they're on the ground talking to customers every day, and you know, they're the ones who have the customer, have the client in their chair, so they're able to really help reinforce the messages for us and tell them about it. And then employees kind of bridges internal and external. Of course, they're internal, but we really want every employee that works for us to be an ambassador of the brand. They're the ones that know it the best, that, you know, have the most information about the brand and are most excited about it. So we want them to feel empowered to go out and share on their social channels. We want them to feel empowered to talk about the brand and to feel confident in the content that they're putting out there and the messages around the brand. So almost done. A couple of key takeaways. Brand trust is increasingly important. I would say the number one thing, and content marketing and storytelling is the number one way to sort of build that trust, particularly for a new brand that isn't going in with a reputation ahead of time. Be purposeful with your strategy. sounds obvious, but I think it's easy to get wrapped up in like wanting to just run and not have strategy in place, and then focus on quality over quantity more and more as it's harder to get in front of people, particularly within social feeds. As we know, organic is really making it difficult to get in front of people without paid media. You want to be investing in the stories that mean the most to your customers and that are going to do the most for your brand. And then do all of those things, and long-term customer loyalty will follow. And that's it.
Thank you, Lorelai. We do have time for a few questions. I'm going to work my way back. I'm going to start right here and work my way back.
Yeah, thank you so much. I've got a question regarding the brand.
Sure.
So do you measure, like, brand health tracking or something? Do you measure the awareness of the brand?
So we haven't done any, like, big picture research studies around that. We're going to be rolling out probably in the next few months.
So you do not know the level of your current awareness, right?
We don't have like a larger market research study that shows how far, but we're, of course, you know, we're 6 months old. We're definitely still relatively small. We have like 19,000 followers on Instagram, so we're a small guy, and this is setting the basis for us to grow.
So how do you measure the effect?
Yeah, so far we measure it through sales, conversion, engagement on our posts. We're building towards all of our bigger company KPIs with all of the content as well. In thinking through what the goals are for each piece of content, there's some, like the fragrance video, which definitely that has a less direct tie to, you know, a number. We're not going to be measuring that on like how many views it gets or how many conversions it drives. It's part of an overall, you know, fuller marketing funnel that's ultimately driving towards conversion. The things like the social ads, those are direct response, so we're measuring CPA, CPM, you know, how many direct conversions we're getting off of them.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm about to overshare here. I'm from Texas, so I get all my beauty products from Neiman Marcus. I have my lady at Neiman Marcus. But I love Birchbox. In fact, I've just been checking online to see if my Birchbox for October has been delivered. Tell me why I love Birchbox so much. What are the secrets? Because it's fantastic marketing. And what you took from Birchbox to pros?
Yeah, so much. I mean, it's hard to put into words. Birchbox definitely had a huge impact on me professionally and personally. It's like was an enormous part of my life for the last 8 years. I think that what customers respond to there is something, I mean, they, from the beginning, have always really nailed this, like, surprise and delight. There's something, you know, some of the things that they really were core to the business early on were, like, A, everyone loves to get a package in the mail that is, you know, fun, it's not a bill, it's not junk mail, it's a nice surprise for you every single month, and it's relatively low cost, just $10 a month, it comes right to your door, it's really fun. With beauty products in particular, I think there is a big section of the market that doesn't want to go to the store or sort through everything. They don't want to try, you know, a million different products to find the ones that work for them. It's really easy, convenient for it to come to their door. And it's like a little treat and something that they can share. It also, at the time that Birchbox was launching, one of the great things in content that was happening was that unboxings and Instagram and YouTube were becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. So this desire to share what you're getting in the mail, to share these like beautiful little packages that you're receiving. A little bit. I mean, I think one of the things that I've taken a lot from them is like that customers want something that's customized to them. That's something, again and again, at Birchbox, people wanted to receive products and samples in their Birchbox that were tailored to them. So they have, you know, a lighter weight version of a profile where you fill out your preferences and stuff. Pros, I think, is taking that much more to a deeper level and creating something that's for you and for everyone. One of the things at Birchbox that we always tried to do was, like, make sure that we represented everyone, that didn't matter if you were a beauty expert or not, you could get products that were, you know, serve you and serve different skin tones, different hair types. That, you know, continues to be growing, I think, across the entire beauty industry, and so that's super important that we take that into our marketing for pros as well.
Hi, so I'm from Paris. So I'm really glad that you enjoy your trip to Paris.
It's amazing.
I'm working in the insurance industry, so it's not really related to your product. But I would like to ask if these information are not confidential. So in your five types of visual that you created to communicate, to engage with your customers, like, which one do you find most effective? And secondly, the video, you know, like the short video that you have to add into the Facebook ad, you say that you collaborated with an agency to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, like, how long is the process to create these short videos? Mm-hmm. And, like, it would be great if you can share the budget for that as well.
Yeah, definitely. So most effective is very dependent on the goal and the like, what you're trying to get out of each item. So they're each effective in different ways. If you're thinking strictly around, like, what is adding money into the business, like social ads, we know that, you know, putting money behind direct response ads that get in front of people on social media is what is going to drive direct conversion, and that they're going to click on in that moment and buy. But that's not to say that they didn't see an Instagram story the week before, that they didn't search for something and land up on our blog, and that it all kind of goes together. And we're able to do that through targeting lists on our Facebook, where we see, this person has landed on our site, or they've, like, started the consultation, but they didn't do a purchase, so then we retarget them with an ad. So it all kind of works together in that way. I think in terms of building trust and having people, you know, come to know you as a brand and really root for you, I would say, like, Instagram stories, things that are scrappier, that don't look like they're produced by an agency, are the things that people connect with and that they engage with more. It's just, you want to see that there's real people behind it, and you don't want to feel that it's so at arm's length. So that's something that we're constantly balancing, is making things that look beautiful and represent the brand in a premium way, but also give our customers a, you know, insight into who we are. And then remind me of the second part of your question. Oh, yeah, the creative agency. So that was a process that probably total was around 2 months. Yeah, and that video is a part of, like, a roster of probably, I think, like, 15 different ads that we're testing and rolling out shortly. So all in all, we kind of had a process. We were looking for the right creative partner for it, who would, and then chose to go with a creative partner really because it would help us to get up more quickly than focus on something that was really their expertise versus doing it in-house ourselves. So all in between, like, briefing them, we produced a photo shoot where we got a bunch of model shots of them using the product before and after, did some video from there in a really, you know, easy way. That's, you know, the video that you saw of the girl spinning her head. We got that on that shoot. And then for, like, 2 weeks, they've probably been, like, going back and just iterating on the design elements of it. budget-wise, I think, you know, that one was on the higher end for budget, for us at least, as a really small brand. Can't give exact numbers, but I would say, like, 20K range. But no, for everything. So, like, 20 different ads that we're doing. And that's inclusive of, like, producing a photo shoot where we got, like, we have probably 40 different images of before and after that we can continue to use throughout this. And then we'll also, from our team, take a lot of the design elements that they did for us, and our graphic designer in-house will use those same kind of templates and design elements throughout, you know, the next year on our ads as well. But you can definitely do it for less. It depends a lot on your internal team and how scrappy you're willing to get.